time. Congratulations to your guy in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, finally. Biggie brought that up earlier.
Yeah, I was stoked to find that out. I'm happy for my guy Dave. That's awesome.
Okay. Can I just give a brief critique as a Dave Matthews fan?
Yes.
Given the context of today, should I be choosing a Dave Matthews song, I might have gone with Tripping Billies.
Fair.
See, I feel like the mood is gray, though. Like, I feel like we're at Gillette Stadium, and it's, unfortunately, the New England, the general vibe is gray.
Right, but they're tripping without their Billy.
I mean, the vibe, Elliot Wolf told us in February that the vibe was going to be less hard-ass than it was previously around here. And
so he must be mad at his coach for calling the team soft, right?
Maybe he is. That's Chime. That is the best Dave song. I mean,
I know it's your favorite. That's why I played it.
Yeah. All right. We're going to talk with Gerard Mayo, the head coach of the New England Patriots, next hour. I would assume around 9:20 or so. This is Tom. Tom, good morning.
Hi, Greg.
Hey, what's up?
Great show. You're all wonderful.
Thank you.
I want to do a shout-out to Odyssey because I drive early in the morning, and like this morning I was in Lebanon, New Hampshire, and I couldn't listen to you guys unless I had Odyssey, so thank
you. Glad you downloaded the app. It only takes a minute. Download it, A-U-D-A-C-Y. Yep. You can listen to us from anywhere like Tom does. Thank you, Tom.
So the point I wanted to make was yesterday, listening to the game, there was a former player who made a great point. He was actually upset because when the Pats come out of halftime into the third quarter to walk on the field, he said at least 75% of them were listless, uninspired, just walking, not fired up. And, you know, you can blame the players, but doesn't that go back to the coaching and especially the head coach? If they're walking out of, if he observed that he's never seen it like that before, that they were that, uninspired walking back onto the field.
You put that on Gerard Mayo?
Yeah, because I think maybe at halftime it's not so much the rah-rah speech, but it is more like body language is key. You know, if you're coming out and you don't look like you have that energy or that enthusiasm. I mean, at that point in time, what was it, 20?
They're down 12, I think.
22 to 10, right?
Yep.
So that you're still in the game, show some energy, even if you are disappointed on how the first half went, there has to be something that says, hey, or there has to be guys in that locker room, you know, maybe it's not the coach, but there has to be guys in that locker room that, you know, rally the team and, you know, say, hey, we got to stop this. And, you know, whatever that speech is in that moment to get guys to come out with an
but
energy.
Do they have those guys on this team?
I don't think so, personally.
I mean, there's no Devin McCourty. There's no Matthew Slater's coaching, but
David Andrews is hurt. David like, that Andrews is a guy is, who.
Are there guys, like, you know, there's an issue for me when you have guys publicly saying that the players need to check their egos.
All right.
Which you had yesterday. Who on this team currently is justified in having a giant ego?
Nobody, but that's what I think I misunderstood is you're watching the players. They're not good enough. They need everybody to do their job and not make a single mistake for them to have a chance to be successful.
Yes.
Their margin of error is razor thin. And so when you start losing, it snowballs because nobody wants to look in a mirror, and so it's always somebody else's fault. And it doesn't bleed to the players, but I just think the way in which the organization has conducted itself has made everybody's job more difficult when their job is to make it easier.
But Greg is right, though. No matter how good, talented you are as a football team, there has to be guys in that locker room that have that. Like,
but you can't have that when you have Jalen Polk still playing when he's making an ass of himself.
No, but that's Greg's point. There's nobody in that locker room to grab Jalen Polk and say, hey, listen, man, shut the F up and catch the damn football.
In fact, when it comes to the head coach, it's the opposite.
Right.
His strategy is, as he said on this show, is to say, I don't tell anybody what to say. Jalen Polk wants to go to Instagram and say, peace out, brah. Mm-hmm. Then I'm fine with him saying peace out, bro.
When you see losing teams, right? You see losing teams.
We've seen a lot of them.
On the at least at one point in the season, there is somebody on the sidelines getting the offense or defense in the group. And, you know,
Bill used to do that.
No,
Bill used to stop mid-game and go over and coach the defense up.
Right,
does Gerard Mayo do that?
No,
but does Gerard Mayo do that?
No, but I'm not necessarily.
He puts it on the player,
but
though.
I'm not even necessarily talking about coach. I'm talking about a player who grabs them in a circle and you see them yelling adamant. Yeah. And, like, even bad teams, you'll have that situation where it's one guy where people look at, like, because players.
But maybe Mayo's filling that role.
But my point is it does not work that way because players don't look at it as a coach.
But what else would you do if you have nobody on the team doing that?
Wiggy always talked about he was scared of other players. Like, yeah. you were scared to let down other players. We don't have that right now. And that's why even if you go back to Christian Barmore and that whole situation, how Gerard said he had his captains go in and talk to the guys and set them straight. Like, do you really think that Jelani Tavai or Jacoby Brissett going in and saying, like, be a man is going to scare anybody straight?
But if you don't have a player to be a leader, then what else can Gerard Mayo do but have to fill that void?
No, I know that I get what you're saying, Curtis, but it's hard sometimes for the coach to fill that void because I told you, the players and the coach, he looks at him, the coach, at like, this is my boss. Right? And we talked about the, you know, being friends with your boss doesn't work.
I don't think they look at him like the boss. Like, they're not afraid of him.
No. I'm not saying they're afraid of him, but they look at him as the boss. So when the boss yells, sometimes it falls on deaf ears. But if a player, let's say Kyle Duggar, and I'm just using his name because it comes to my top of my head. If he grabs the team, the defense, on the sidelines, and he starts yelling and screaming and say, we need to do this. You look at him a lot different than you would look at the coach trying to do that.
We were going to get to
I have a quote right
Robert,
here.
Robert Kraft.
So he was at a loaded bar, not the participants, but the actual bar was crowded in London, and he said, this is unbelievable. This is from Chris Mason of Mass Live. Robert Kraft said, this is unbelievable. I came in here, and I got inspired, and I've got to carry this to the locker room tomorrow. I'll tell you, there's nothing more important to our family than winning football games. And Chris Mason does a great job of resurfacing this quote from the owners' meetings in March of this past year, not 5 years ago. Kraft said, and I quote, my hope and expectations are to make the playoffs. That's something realistically, we have a new leadership team. We're going to have a lot of young players. A lot can happen. We might struggle, but the good news is we're running any business. We try to figure it out, and we have the right variables in place. I really hope we have a good young team. This team is so far away from winning a playoff game, and Robert Kraft every day is on a different network or at a different place talking differently about what he expects from this organization. And the vacuum that was established in the departure of Bill Belichick has been replaced by people who know far less about football and are far more into today's newspaper instead of putting in the work now to get a good team next year. Yeah. They're trying to fix it quickly without actually putting in any money behind the product.
But they have to do that in the offseason and craft.
But why didn't they do it this past one?
Listen, you're asking the question that I wish I had the answer
to. He said that in March. That's before free agency.
Right,
why
but the only thing I can surmise from what they did in the offseason and from what they say is they don't feel like there were good enough free agents on worth spending money on, right? We hear them all the time. We hear Mayo talking about all the time. The thing now becomes, and the fact that if they continue to lose, I feel like this puts Robert's feet to the fire where he has no choice but to make sure he's really spending money this offseason.
All right, it's a Patriots Monday, and we are interested in what you think, and you can call 617-779-7937. You can text with your comment on the Subaru of New England text line, and Gerard Mayo will join us coming up this next hour at about 9:20.